This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I was actually planning originally to have a guest on today's show to talk about the voting situation coming up to the election in November. But I decided to postpone that. We'll do that next week because there's so many other things happening out there that we need to discuss today. It's just absolutely incredible what Obama's doing. One first thing I want to mention is the fact that maybe some of you haven't heard yet, the Senate Intelligence Committee today came out with a scathing report. And this is a committee and a Senate controlled by the Democrats. They came out with a scathing report against the State Department and against the intelligence community, and all of which, of course, are controlled by Obama, and basically said that the attack on Benghazi could have been and should have been prevented, that we did not need to lose four brave Americans in that attack, that the information had been available for months, that Al-Qaeda was strengthening its operations in Libya around Benghazi, that terrorist attacks that were taking place against other targets, and that the embassy itself or the consulate in Benghazi were very vulnerable to attack. And it called for, people were calling for increased security, and the Senate report basically says these calls were ignored by Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, ignored by others in the Obama administration, and they essentially sat back and let an attack happen and let four Americans die. Now think about that. These are Democrats that have voted for this report and said that the attacks could have been prevented. They also have been saying, the report at least suggests, that it was an absolute lie. Of course, everybody knows it's an absolute lie, but suggests that the Obama administration knowingly was lying for at least 2 weeks after the attack about it being a terrorist incident. If you recall, they kept saying it was because of the video, that obscure video that was on the Internet that was critical of Muhammad and the Muslim religion. And they said this was a spontaneous reaction to that video that caused Americans to die. Now we have the Senate committee coming out and saying that is not true. We know it's not true. This could have been prevented. Americans died for no reason. So now somebody needs to be held accountable. And I'm talking not just somebody who was involved in the terrorist act itself, but you remember this has been going on for over a year now. It's been over a year since this occurred. It was September 11th of 2012, just before our national elections. Yet no one has been attacked. There's been no reaction from the Obama administration, no military reaction. Nobody's been arrested. We haven't picked anybody up and spirited them out of the country. We haven't killed anybody, even though the person who was, we know, was in charge of this whole attack was walking around the streets of Benghazi. And they still be there for all I know, yet they have done nothing. There's been no retribution for an attack that killed four Americans. And it doesn't appear that Obama intends to do anything to punish anybody. Not only should they be punished, the people in this government, including up to Hillary Clinton and even Obama himself. Now, Hillary's gone. She can't be impeached, but she could certainly be charged with criminal neglect in this matter. And Obama needs to be impeached. And I'm working on updating the articles of impeachment I've drawn up, and one of the things that we will include is this Benghazi situation. Think about this. I don't know how many of you watched yesterday or heard what Obama said at his cabinet meeting, first cabinet meeting of the year. He basically said that he is declaring himself a dictator, that he has no intention of abiding by the Constitution of the United States. He said that the Congress will not do what he wants on the economy and many other things, and he says it doesn't matter. He says, and this is a quote, "I have a pen and I have a telephone." He said he's going to start issuing more executive orders, using more executive actions, which, by the way, don't exist in the Constitution or in the law, and going to be mandating that his departments, such as the EPA and the Department of Treasury, do more to implement what Obama wants. Now, Article 2 of the Constitution sets the duties for the President of the United States and limits what the President can do, severely limits what the President can do. Essentially, the President can sign treaties, engage in negotiations internationally, sign treaties, but those treaties cannot go into effect unless they're ratified by two-thirds of the Senate. This is what the Constitution says. The President can direct his departments to enforce laws, but he cannot make laws, he cannot change laws, he cannot decide which laws to enforce and which not to. He's constitutionally mandated to enforce the laws passed by Congress. Obama says he's not going to do that. He's not going to obey that constitutional mandate. He is, as I said, essentially is saying, I'm going to be the dictator from now on. And ladies and gentlemen, with the elections coming up by in November of this year, elections which everybody out there who's got any sense hopes will go towards taking control of the Senate by the Republican Party, by conservative Republicans, not Rhino Republicans, hopefully, but the Republican Party taking control of the Senate, maintaining control of the House, possibly getting enough people in both houses to thwart Obamacare and other things that Obama's trying to do. But again, they won't have enough to override a veto by him, but that we still need to take control of the House and of the Senate. Obama's going to do everything he can to keep that from happening. And one of the things he's doing is essentially he has created an American Gestapo. And I'm working on an article for my blog about this right now. And when I say American Gestapo, I'm talking about the IRS. Now think about this. The IRS is tasked with collecting taxes. And they punish people that they think need to be punished for not paying their taxes or doing criminal acts to avoid paying taxes. So they already have quite a bit of power. They are, have always been, or have been for at least for decades, the most feared branch of the federal government. Now, under Obamacare, they are going to have control of everyone's medical records. All of our medical records are going to be in the hands of IRS agents. Now, remember the scandal that broke right after the election when it was found out that the Internal Revenue Service in both the 2010 and 2012 election cycles had been unfair targeting conservative groups, groups that were applying like Tea Party groups, Christian groups, groups that were applying for 501c3 status, which meant they were tax-exempt organizations and they could collect people that donated to them who write off the donations on their income tax. They were trying to get this established for these organizations so they could raise enough money to help influence the outcome of the elections in 2010 and 2012. They were told that they had to answer a whole lot of questions which were illegal, which were unconstitutional, questions about their membership, about what their members did, who they were, about their names, addresses, telephone numbers, all the things that the IRS was prohibiting from doing, they were doing anyway. They were delaying up to sometimes up to 2 to 3 years any decision on the tax-exempt status. So many of these organizations gave up. They were not able to collect the money to deal with the issues they wanted to deal with, to try to influence voters. And so essentially Obama won. Then this scandal broke. And it lasted for a while, although it was mostly ignored by the national news media, and all of a sudden it's been swept under the rug. It's gone away. The Justice Department, the FBI has announced that nobody's going to be charged with anything. even though some of this was obviously criminal offenses. If you remember, the head of the operations at that point that did all of this, she refused to testify before Congress. She took the Fifth Amendment, claiming she hadn't done anything wrong, but she still wasn't going to tell them anything and answer the questions for fear that she might be criminally charged. Well, she's not going to be criminally charged. Nobody's going to be criminally charged. Not only that, nobody's been fired. Lois Lerner was allowed to resign or essentially go on unpaid or paid leave, so she's getting her full salary. She just doesn't have to work anymore. Nobody, even the poor people in the Cincinnati office that they were trying to blame for all this, none of them have lost any time or any money. So essentially, it appears Obama has won. And he's acting like he's won because now what he's doing is, since he can't use that particular tactic anymore, but he still wants to try to influence the outcome of the elections in November, he's going to use the new Gestapo, the Internal Revenue Service, to bludgeon conservative groups with hundreds of pages of new rules and regulations, which essentially prohibit free speech. Now, this is how bad this is going to be. And it applies initially only to 501c4 organizations, which, by the way, are organizations like my organization, the United States Justice Foundation. We are a 501c4. We have been for 35 years. We have never had any problems with the Internal Revenue Service. We have never done anything wrong. We are an organization that's well-respected around the country. We don't come out and endorse political candidates as an organization, but I do make speeches about issues. We do deal with issues. I talk about the Constitution. We deal with the Constitution, and I talk about how we need to elect conservatives to the Congress and a conservative in the White House. Under these new rules and regulations, for a period of up to 3 months during the election cycle, we will not be able to do any of that. We will not be able to put anything on our website. We can't urge people to register to vote. We can't tell them to go out and vote. We can't talk about the issues, the constitutional issues. We essentially cannot criticize the Obama administration for anything it does. We will be prohibited from using words like oppose, vote, support, defeat, or reject when it comes to any issue, we cannot mention any political party. We cannot mention any candidate. I'm not talking about endorsing candidates. We can't even mention a candidate, particularly if it's a Democrat and we come out and oppose something they want to do or something they have done in the past. We can't report on how they voted on bills in Congress. We can't essentially do what I'm doing right now. I will be prohibited from making public speeches. And let's take our first break now. We'll talk more in a minute.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you Insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
As I pointed out before the break, these new rules and regulations apply to 501c4 organizations at this point. But 501c3s are certainly be next on the list. And that will happen, I predict, before the election also. If they adopt a 501c4 rules, it'll just simply stretch them out and say, okay, we're now applying these to 501c3s, which means Tea Party groups, which means anti-abortion groups, or pro-life groups, pro-Second Amendment organizations, and particularly targeted or illegal foundations like ours. One of the things that these rules and regulations will do will restrict the ability of officers and leaders of such organizations to publicly speak about incumbents, legislation, and or voting records for a 90-day period around the election cycle. Now, from a practical standpoint, what does that mean? Well, I've got my show once a week. I'm doing four more shows in the next few days where I'm going to be interviewed about constitutional issues and about legislation. I'm doing three speeches next week in Texas on these very similar issues. I can't do that anymore. Under these rules and regulations, I cannot make public appearances. I'm not going to be able to come on this radio show and talk about what I want to talk about. I'm not going to be able to be interviewed by any other radio stations or television stations around the country. I can't participate in debates. I can't exercise my First Amendment rights. If I do, my organization loses its tax-exempt status, essentially be put out of business. So come September, October, prior to the election, as a matter of fact, if these were going into effect right now, it's, I think, 60 days before the primary and 30 days before a general election that these would go into effect. No, 30 days before a primary, 60 days before a general election, these would be in effect. We have primaries coming up in March in Texas. So if these rules were to go into effect in the next few weeks, then by mid-February, I would have to stop making public speeches here in Texas. I would have to stop doing the radio show for this period. This is a full-scale, all-out attack on free speech in this country. They're essentially saying that you can only talk about the election, talk about candidates, talk about legislation, if you agree with the Obama administration and what they and the Democrats are doing. Because guess what? Union organizations, labor groups, groups that support Obama are not going to be subject to these restrictions. It's only conservative groups that this is going to apply to. And they blatantly say that. So freedom of speech is being attacked by the Obama administration. And the implications are unbelievable. If these go into effect, then there is very unlikely that we are going to have free elections this November or any time thereafter. I mean, let's face it, Obama would desperately like to take back the House and maintain control of the Senate. But if he does that, then he can do anything he wants. Congress will give him the power to do anything he wants. So we're looking at the situation where Obama is already, through Eric Holder, is already attacking states that are trying to prevent voter fraud. States like Texas will require a picture ID in order to be able to vote. Something the Supreme Court, by the way, has said the states can do. Yet Obama and Eric Holder are suing to stop Texas and South Carolina and other states from doing just that. So we know they want to have illegals vote. We know they already have a lot of dead people vote. And the federal laws that require the dead to be purged from the rolls periodically by the states. Eric Holder's told states, particularly the blue states, don't worry about that. You don't have to do that. We're not going to enforce it. There are also laws that we talked about before that require the states to send out absentee ballots to members of the military at least 30 days in advance of elections, so the military members will have a chance to return them, fill them out, and return them. Eric Holder has told the states, don't worry about doing that. We're not going to enforce that law. So several hundred thousand at least of our military votes cast in 2012 were not counted. They did not arrive in time to be counted because they weren't sent out in time. So our military has been disenfranchised. Why? Because most of the military members have historically voted for conservative candidates, voted for Republican candidates. So they're already moving to try to steal the election. Now they're going to stifle free speech. Now they're going to tell me that I can't talk about the election. They're telling me that I will have no free speech, that there will be no freedom of the press, that I can't do this radio show, unless I sit there, sit here for an hour and talk about gardening. Even there, I better be careful not to criticize any regulations the federal government is putting on gardening, which they're doing. They're regulating everything. So really, there's nothing I can talk about, is there? I can talk about how wonderful Hollywood is and how great the Golden Globes were. I can talk about nonsense. I can talk about things that the left loves. I can talk about things that people talk about in general. But I can't talk about the issues that affect us, the American people. They affect our economy. They affect our Constitution. I can't discuss any of that under these new rules and regulations. Now, I'm asking you as listeners to do this and get your friends to do it. You can file a public comment in opposition to these proposed IRS regulations at regulations.gov. That's regulations.gov. All comments are due by February 27th. That's only 12 days from now. So file comments and tell them, number one, that you oppose these regulations because they stifle free speech, and number two, you demand that there be public hearings around the country before these regulations are put into effect. They don't want to hold the public hearings. Well, if they do, they're going to hold one, and that's going to be in D.C. Or they're going to hold a couple, and they're going to be in places like Chicago or you know, the blue states. If there's enough outcry here, maybe something will happen. I doubt it. I think they're going to impose them anyway. But Congress can block them. Unfortunately, the power to do that lies in the Senate Committee on Finance. Senate Committee on Finance, Taxation, and IRS Oversight. I frankly don't trust the Senate to do it. Because let's face it, who's going to benefit most by these regulations? The Democratic candidates in 2014. many Democratic senators, because of their votes for Obamacare and because of other things they have done, are very, very vulnerable. We're talking about senators in Missouri, in Louisiana, senators in Alaska, all very vulnerable. They're not going to vote to stop the IRS from doing this. They don't care if it stifles free speech. In fact, that's what they want to have happen. They want us to lose our free speech rights. When I say us, I mean the majority of the American people, particularly those of us who are conservative, who believe in the Constitution. They want to take away our free speech. So signing petitions and sending them to the Senate Finance Committee, that's great. But it's probably not going to be effective unless people in states like Louisiana and Missouri and Alaska and other states contact their Democratic senator who's up for re-election, Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, is one prime example. A lot of people over there think she needs to go. Contact her and tell her, if the IRS puts these regulations into effect, you as an individual are going to go out and campaign against her. At this point, these regulations do not apply to individuals, except to employees, by the way, of an organization like mine. Employees are not going to be allowed, and this is something else that's unbelievably stifling of free speech. The employee of the United States Justice Foundation is not going to be allowed to volunteer on their own time to work as a volunteer in a campaign for a political candidate. Now, how long will it be before, if they get by with this, how long it will be before they tell individuals that, okay, if you are employed by any group that ever does business with the federal government or with the state government, you cannot volunteer to participate in the campaign, unless, of course, it's a Democratic campaign. If it's a Democrat running for senator or the House of Representatives or a Democratic presidential candidate, then you can participate. But if it's a conservative, it's a Republican, you cannot participate. So this is the type of thing that they're doing, and this is why you need to contact your senator, particularly if they're a vulnerable Democrat, and say you are going to be very, very sure, you can make them very, very sure that you're not only going to vote against them, because they probably think, well, if you believe in free speech, you're going to vote against me anyway. Tell them you're going to work actively against them. Maybe that'll help. Let's take our second break now. We'll talk more in a minute.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Back to my original point about the IRS being the new Gestapo, think about it. They already terrify people with their heavy-handed method of collecting taxes, but they're using tax law, if you want to call it law, just rules and regulations, mostly adopted by the IRS, supposed to be overseen by Congress, but Congress very seldom does anything. But they're using the threats of audits, investigations, both criminal and civil, against people because of their political beliefs. Prime example, Sarah Palin's father, and this has just come out recently and has been totally ignored by the national news media, but since 2008, when Sarah Palin ran for Vice President of the United States on the Republican ticket and was very outspoken and has been very outspoken since of the Obama administration and of the liberal Democrats, her father, who had paid taxes for 55 years, never had a problem with the IRS, never missed a payment, never failed to pay his taxes, never tried to hide anything, was never audited. All of a sudden, he has been horribly harassed for the last 5 years. Horribly harassed by the Internal Revenue Service. And this is not an isolated incident. True the Vote out of Houston, Texas, which is a conservative political organization down there. Actually, there's some, not just conservatives in it, but there are moderates, and even I think some liberals who are concerned about the way the election was done in Texas back in 2008, when essentially the primary election, the Obama people stole a lot of votes or stopped a lot of people from voting in the caucuses. Because in Texas, it's kind of strange. But, you know, we're known for being kind of strange in Texas anyway, and we pride ourselves on being that way. But the way it's set up in the Democratic primaries, people went to vote in the Democratic primary, and the candidate that won the most votes received a percentage of the delegates, or received the delegates. However, not all delegates to the Democratic convention were chosen in the election. The delegates were also chosen, a number of them, in caucuses. And for these, people had to go and appear in person, and then they had to vote on whether or not they wanted a certain delegate to go as a delegate for Hillary Clinton back then or Barack Obama. Well, Barack Obama used, his campaign used, the SEIU, which is Service International Employees Union, SIU. Service International, Service Employees International Union, SEIU, that was great first time, used them as basically Gestapo-type guards. They stood at the doors to the caucuses, wherever they were going to be, in schools or churches or wherever. They stood at those doors, and if people showed up, particularly elderly people, particularly women, these thugs are very, very brave when it comes to getting on elderly women and threatening them. They would be told that they couldn't come in if they were wearing a Clinton button. Some cases, people were asked how they were going to vote. And if they were wearing a Clinton button, they were told the caucus had been closed. Nobody else could go in. This caused this organization out of Houston, True the Vote, to be originated. They started investigations, and they found massive voter fraud in the Houston area. They found thousands of people that were registered that were either illegals and should not be allowed to vote, or people that were deceased, or people that were convicted felons that should not be allowed to vote, or people who just didn't exist. Thousands of applications being put in to register voters that did, people that did not exist, addresses that didn't exist. Well, they applied to be a 501c3 or tax-exempt organization, applied to the IRS. The leaders was a married couple who owned several businesses that were the primary leaders in this organization. Not only was True the Vote itself denied the 501c3 designation, or harassed to the point where they, you know, it took 2 or 3 years and they still hadn't gotten an answer. To this day, I don't know if they've got an answer yet. But not only did they harass the organization and keep it from getting its tax-exempt status, but they went after the individuals who ran the organization. They went after them individually. They audited them. They audited their businesses. One of the businesses was audited 3 times in a 3-year period. One attack after another. The same thing is happening to Sarah Palin's father. One attack after another. This is what I'm talking about when I say the IRS can become the new American Gestapo. 16,000 new agents are being hired to enforce Obamacare. Right now, the only way that they can enforce Obamacare, supposedly, is to refuse to give people tax refunds and make them pay a penalty that way. They have no other way of collecting the penalty yet. Remember what Obama said yesterday? He's got a pen. Remember what I said earlier in this program about what the President of the United States can do. He can enforce the laws passed by Congress. He cannot change those laws. By my count, we have now have 17 instances where Obama has rewritten portions of Obamacare, has changed the dates when things would go into effect, has changed who they affect, how people are affected, has given exemptions to certain groups and individuals, all of which he has done without agreement by Congress, all of which is unconstitutional. He cannot do it. And he keeps getting by with it. So why should we be concerned with the IRS? Well, he's getting by with this now. How long is it going to be before he, by a stroke of the pen, tells the IRS, okay, people who do not sign up for Obamacare, audit their taxes, harass them in some other way, visit their business, send them threatening letters, put liens on their property, seize their house, seize their car. He thinks, and he can do this with a stroke of the pen, and he will do it, ladies and gentlemen, he will do it. He will empower the IRS. IRS agents are already armed, many of them. He'll arm more of them. A lot of ammunition has been bought up by the Internal Revenue Service. Excuse me. He's going to use the Internal Revenue Service to harass people. Harass them to prevent them from voting. Harass them from preventing them from using free speech or freedom of the press. Harass them to get them to sign up for Obamacare, particularly young people who don't seem to want to do that. He's going to use all these techniques against the American people, and he's going to take it one step further. And I could guarantee you that unless he is stopped, this is going to happen. We've talked repeatedly on this show about what's happening to the veterans in this country, how they're being denied their Second Amendment rights. The VA is declaring veterans to be incompetent to handle their own financial affairs. They're being declared incompetent for minor PTSD because they may have been depressed at some point, or simply because they let their spouses pay their family bills. And once they're declared incompetent, they're being told they cannot own, purchase, possess, or transport a firearm or ammunition. If they do, they will be convicted of a felony. They're also being told that they're being put on the cannot fly list. They're having their passports canceled if they have them. And we're even getting reports now at the United States Justice Foundation that they are being told that they cannot family members of these people are being killed, veterans are being killed. They can't own firearms either, particularly if they live in the same house as a veteran. They're using the mental illness weapon to disarm the veterans. The same thing that Adolf Hitler did, the same thing that has been done in other dictatorships. And I have an article on my blog entitled "All Gun Owners Are Mentally Ill" with a question mark. And it's getting a lot of response because I explain there exactly what's happening. Here's the catch-22. It's happening now to veterans. The IRS is going to have access to your medical records, the medical records of everybody else in the country. Have you ever gone to visit your doctor and told him you were feeling slightly depressed about something? You had lost a job, you'd lost a family member, you just had a bad week, and he wrote in his chart in your medical records, feeling depressed. And maybe you were feeling depressed to the point where he said, here, try this medication. Take this for a couple of weeks to see if you feel better. You took it for a couple of weeks, you feel fine. That's in your medical records. On that basis, the IRS can and will turn you into the NICS list, National Criminal Incident Background Checklist. If you're on that list and you go try to buy a firearm, you can't do it. You'll be turned down once you fill out the paperwork. The dealer checks with the government. They're not even going to have to tell you you're on the list. Thousands of veterans have been put on the list and don't even know why. Don't even know they were on the list. You can't find out why they're on the list in the first place. And they make it virtually impossible to get off the list. So this is the next step in turning the IRS into the American Gestapo. Disarm the American people. Use your health records, virtually anything that they want to use. I mean, it doesn't have to be mental health issues. You can, according to the VA, they can declare a veteran incompetent to handle their own affairs on the basis of physical disabilities. In other words, if a veteran lost an arm or a leg in combat, they can be declared incompetent. How long is it going to be before the IRS is doing that to other people? We're entering a very, very dangerous time. Let's take our final break now.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Who is or what is USJF? It is a nonprofit legal organization founded to protect our rights through the U.S. Constitution. Active in educating the public, USJF has also contributed directly and indirectly to legal defense efforts in many celebrated cases involving fundamental conservative principles. Cases of note include the Mount Soledad Cross case, the Arizona immigration law case, the Obama eligibility cases, the NDAA illegal detention issue, and many more. Help this nonprofit as they help you. Visit www.usjf.net today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action, from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog. for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Well, like I said, the beginning of the show, there was a lot to talk about today. And we're really just scratching the surface. Take, for example, something else that we do need to look at. Another dictatorial action, the dictatorial action by the Obama administration. It's his use of the EPA to push his climate change agenda. Despite the fact that thousands of scientists have now come out and say climate's to change, the idea that climate is changing because of the actions of the people of Earth is not true. These are normal cycles of the climate changes. They occur periodically. They have been occurring since before people were industrialized. These are nothing new. Yet Obama has his agenda. And one of those agendas, and he said this clearly while he was running for office in 2008, running for president, he said he was going to shut down the coal industry in this country to stop people from mining coal, to stop coal-fired utility plants. And he said he was going to do that in order for electric prices to skyrocket, to force people to use less electricity. He said that. But everybody ignored him. Now he's doing exactly what he says. Let's face it, when Obama says that he's going to reward his friends and punish his enemies, he's going to do that. He just rewarded one of his top donors by, get this, putting him in charge of the investigation of the Internal Revenue Service for his actions against conservative groups. Talk about having the fox guarding the hen house. But Obama told us he's going to reward his friends and punish his enemies. He's doing exactly that. We can take him at his word for that. That's probably the only thing that I know about that the man has not lied about. That and what he said he was going to do to the coal industry. They are putting emissions requirements, and Congress refused to do this. Congress refused to pass a law. They refused to pass the cap and trade bill, which Obama desperately wanted. They would have done this for him. Even though it was passed by the House, which was controlled by the Democrats at that time, but did not pass the Senate. There were too many senators in states like West Virginia that would have been affected adversely by this. So the Senate refused to pass it. Obama is having the EPA implement it. Most of the power plants, utility plants in Texas, are coal-fired. Many of them in other parts of the country are coal-fired. We are looking at the cost of our electric bills in Texas doubling at least, probably going up 300%. We're looking at thousands of jobs being lost because the regulations that they're putting on the power plants here in the United States are not being put on any place, any utility plants, anywhere else in the world because of the cost. And because they've not, the technology, they're not even sure it works. Yet, we got to take Obama at his word. He's going to come after our utilities, come after our electric bills. So let's sum it up here. Taking out the energy industry in this country. Taking away our First Amendment rights. Taking away freedom of speech, freedom of the press. Oh, and we didn't even have touch today on freedom of religion. That's something else that we need to talk about on another show, because our freedom of religion is being destroyed on a daily basis, particularly in the military. And I've written a couple articles, recent articles on my blog. One was Betraying Our Own, and that deals with what's happening in the military. If you have not read that article, please go to www.michaelconnelly.com. There you can find my blog and read that article. Read both of my most recent articles, because I think you'll find some valuable information, and please pass those articles on, particularly the one on veterans in the active duty military. If you are a veteran in this country, or for that matter, if you're a member of the military and you are being discriminated against for your religious beliefs, or if you're being denied your Second Amendment rights or denied your Fifth Amendment rights to due process, please contact me at usjf.net. That's the United States Justice Foundation. usjf.net. Let me know what's happening to you. We will respond. Either myself or one of my assistants will respond, and we will see what we can do to help you. There will never be a charge to you. We not intend to charge any veterans or family members anything for us representing you legally. We don't charge any of our clients anything. We rely strictly on independent donations. This is something else we need help with. We have one suit against the VA going on behalf of veterans already. We're preparing a second suit. I know we've been talking about this for a while. The preparation's taken longer than we wanted, but that's because there's so much information out there and things are happening so fast that we're trying to make sure that when we strike and we hit with this suit, that we're going to have all the most up-to-date information about what's going on, and we're going to be able to ask the right questions in discovery proceedings. So we need more and more attorneys to volunteer to help us, but we need money. We estimate this, these lawsuits combined are probably going to cost about $500,000, at least $250,000, probably up to $500,000. Go to usjf.net and donate to us. You'll see that we're upgrading our homepage and working on a number of different things, and would very much like to have your support. You can go to the top of the homepage and see a link that says donate to us. You click on that link, and you can find out how to make a donation over the Internet with your credit card or how to mail us a check, our mailing address. Please donate to us, even if it's only $5. That will help us out considerably. You know, we have the small donations. We don't get big donations. We'd love to have some, but we don't have the president of Progressive Insurance, who is, as far as I'm concerned, a commie, and I don't use that term lightly, but he gives the ACLU $1 million a year. We don't have anybody doing that for us. We rely on people like you who are often struggling to help us out, because we're a struggling organization. We have limited resources, but we're involved in a lot of litigation right now. We're involved in a lot of issues, and some of them involve the veterans. So go to usjf.net. And also on my blog, you can find out how to order copies of my booklet, Our Constitution. And the proceeds of the booklet basically are recycled. We use money that is raised. I haven't collected a penny of royalties on that booklet since I wrote it 3 years ago. And all the money that comes in for that booklet is recycled so that we can do things like the booklet sells for $6 on the Internet, but schools will contact us and want copies of that booklet, so organizations that we need copies of the booklet to hand out at schools. We use the money that we make off the booklets to finance basically donations of booklets. We either give the booklets to schools or groups like that, or lately we haven't been able to afford to give it out, but we'll sell them for cost to the schools, or sometimes less than cost. As long as people keep donating, you know, keep buying copies of the booklet at full price, we are buying, you can buy multiple prices or multiple copies of the book for special prices. But go to USSJF.net to get to the Justice Foundation to buy copies of the booklet. Go to www.constitution.jigsy.com. You can find out about the pricing there. And if you want to order copies of my other books, my book, The Mortarman, about my dad's unit during World War II, has become a major seller. It's available on Amazon. Everything's an e-book. But if you want an autographed copy from me, you can go to my website, michaelconnelly.jigsy.com. You can read reviews about the book. You can read reviews about my novel, Amayeli, A Story of America. And by the way, it's a patriotic novel, and all of a sudden the left has discovered it, and there's some vicious attacks against me personally and against the novel for being political and being patriotic. They despise it. The latest review on Amazon is unbelievable. This guy just goes nuts. I love it. I love it when I'm upset the liberals. And apparently my novel's doing so. And you can also find out about my other books. And so go check things out. And thank you for being here with me today. Like I said, there's a lot going on. And we'll be talking more next week to you. Everybody have a wonderful weekend.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.